Hey everyone.
Oh, he did it this time.
I did it that time.
He did it this time.
I couldn't leave you all hanging.
Gonna keep you fucking, yeah.
Everyone loves it. Apparently. Yeah, no. Welcome to our random bullshit episode.
Another one.
Another random bullshit episode.
We found we've got enough time recording another one. We can do this.
Even the ones that are on topic are random bullshit, to be honest. But yeah, so we're just doing our Q&As. I actually had the wherewithal to go. Scott told me to, basically.
Well, because I know. Well, because the thing is, like, you know, it actually haunts me a little bit. Like, there was like the first ever proper Q&A that we did. This is when like fuckers still like Christine and Jake were still active with us, and I missed it. And then I remember you'd put the episode on Spotify, and I had listened. I was just like, this sounds like fucking good fun, because it's just us getting into engage with the people that actually fucking waste their time listening to us talk shit.
They're my favorite episodes, to be honest.
Yeah, I always like leave it a couple of months, like 3-4 months, and I'll just go to Sam's like, have we got enough questions to do another Q&A? Because these are fun.
They are fun. And I encourage anyone to send us shit.
And we don't have to research anything.
No, they're really, really easy. So we were, before we came on air, having a conversation about Pete Steele, which we are both huge fans of.
Yeah.
But I don't think a week goes by where I don't at least listen to one typo song.
Probably not every week, but I might go through a time where I will binge them for a week.
Yeah, like we've recently, like, because I've been doing a lot of working out and a lot of stuff like that, I've got like a playlist for going in for working out. A lot of typo songs are on that. Got a lot of typo, a lot of Tool. Got all the Samurai songs from Cyberpunk on there.
Of course.
I've got a few others on there. A couple of rap tracks on there that just fucking get me moving, get me pumping.
Yeah.
But I've got mad shit. I've got fucking like Tears for Fears on there and stuff.
Whatever works,
like,
baby.
Shout, and I'm just fucking going for it. You know, like, it's just it's stuff like that. So I, at the moment, and I'm listening to a lot of music at the moment. A lot.
Yeah. I find, actually, this year, it's like as I've probably told you in the past, like the past couple of years, my intake has been a lot of podcast related. Listen to loads of podcasts. But the past, this year especially, I've been listening to a lot of fucking music, getting into some new shit, like reintroducing myself to some old stuff that I used to love. Like, I had like a week where I just listened to nothing but him, because I was always a massive ass fan of him. Same with typo. I got my own playlist on Spotify of like my favorite typo songs.
Yeah, I do, but it's got like 70 tracks on it. So it's
I haven't got that many, but I'm a bit more, not biased, but yeah, I've got my own.
But there's a few that sometimes I'll skip. Like, I like Girls. Or Goyles.
Like
sometimes
Goyles.
I skip that. It depends what mood I'm in, but it's still a fucking great song. Do you know what I mean? And if I'm not feeling too miserable, I might skip Haunted. Fucking great track.
Just short of 3 hours on my playlist. Yours is probably hell longer than mine.
Yeah, mine's retarded, but.
But then there's songs on here that I should have, but I haven't. But I'm kind of a bit picky about it.
But the reason we're even talking about typo at this point, Scott was explaining how we got into typo negative, and I said, fuck it, let's start recording. So.
Okay.
Continue.
Yeah. So I was late to the party. Obviously, I heard "Life Is Killing Me." Not "Life Is Killing Me." Fucking, I Don't Want to Be Me. That was because that video was on Crank.
It was fucking everywhere.
Yeah, and it was like, it's like, this is kind of cool because it's kind of punky, which is when you actually dive into typo, it's like they've got their elements, but they're not really a punk band.
There's a lot of fresh elements because obviously Carnivore and stuff like that. Which is the only time I ever got to see Pete live was with fucking Carnivore. It just ate me up.
Yeah.
It fucking ate me up that I never got to see him live, but.
But yeah, so I was like, I heard that song, but I didn't actually go any further, didn't go any deeper into the discography for it. And then, I don't know what it was, I was working on a job, and I was like, do you know what? I think that song popped up on a random playlist or something. I was like, I need to fucking listen to some more. Typo, just, you know, you get those words, like, why did I never dive into this sooner? And I just popped on fucking October Rust, and then I fucking put on Bloody Kiss.
October Rust was the first typo album I bought, and I couldn't believe how fucking good it was, you know.
I just fucking got into it, and then I was like, right, and I just fucking put the whole thing on. I mean, they only stuck the first two albums, obviously, one being their fake live album.
Yeah, but it's fun. Like,
it's fun, not. It's a bit more faster.
You suck. Like, yeah. This is not actually real people.
It's like, you throw a bottle, they're going to get you kicked the fuck out of here, all this sort of shit.
But they're really misunderstood typo negative, because, like, people just think they're like this gothic, dark, like, their sense of humor is key in even the fucking, like, dark songs. There's jokes hidden in there, you know.
Yeah, and it just, his voice, man.
I don't know. I can't think of anyone who sounds that good in what he does.
That good
for
fucking range as well.
Yeah, it's like Pete's Dev is still probably one of my hardest musical fucking moments. Just, like, 'cause, do you, I remember where the fuck I was when I was told he died. Right?
Oh, I didn't.
It's one of those, because I was already a big fan. I was on the bus, and at the time, I was pretty poor, and I only had this shitty MP3 player with music, and it literally fit 100 songs. Right. And I must have only had like 3 typo songs on it. Like, I was like, I'm gonna have to be really fucking
specific
with each band. You know, like, I've got The Cure, I've got fucking
Tool,
I've got all Smiths. This shit, Smiths. Yeah, I've got all this on there. I need to fucking cram it all in.
Yeah.
And I think what I said to myself is, I'm literally gonna do like 2 or 3 songs per band. That's all I can do.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember being on the bus, and I'd just been made redundant about a month before, and I'm waiting for my redundancy pay. That's why I was so
were you over here or
the ITV is so back in the UK, yeah. So I'm waiting for this fucking 15 grand to show up in my bank account, and I haven't been paid for a month, and I'm like, I need
give me the fucking money.
I'm on the bus, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to go to the job centre. I'm gonna have to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I was on the bus, and my mate Matt, shout out to Matt, messaged me, and he was like, "Pete's dead," and I thought he was talking about our friend, and I was like, "Holy shit, what the fuck?" And he went, "I know, man." He said, "I'm crying my eyes out," and I was hit this thing like, "Oh, mate, Pete," but Pete wasn't a close friend. He was just someone we knew.
Yeah.
And I was like, "How?" And he was like, "Heart attack." And I was like, "He's like 25. What the fuck?" So I was like, "Really?" And he was like, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "I've been blasting typo all day." And then it hit me, and I was like, "Pete still?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I was on the bus in tears.
Wow.
I was fucking crying. And I just went straight to my fucking thing. And all I had on there was, let me think, Love You to Death.
Yeah, it's a great tune. One of my favs.
I think all I had, we Are Electrocute, I think I had. Because really? I was listening to that a lot at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like really enjoying it. And I had Anesthesia
on. Oh.
And I fucking put those on. I put those on, and I was fucking like shattered on this bus. I'm sitting on this bus. I've got my fucking hood up, and I'm looking down, and I was fucking broken by it. The only other death celebrity-wise that hit me like Pete was fucking Eddie Guerrero. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things. And I just remember being on that bus, looking at my fucking MP3 player, and wishing I had more typo on it,
because
I only had these 3 fucking songs.
Yeah, I had a really fucking bad track record of it, and it's like I get into bands after the fucking singer died. So obviously, I got into typo. Pete had been dead like maybe 2 or 3 years by this point before I fucking really got into typo. Same with fucking Alice in Chains. Alice in Chains, I got into literally maybe about 5 years ago. Don't know why.
I'm surprised you must have heard Wood and stuff. You must.
Do you know what? No. Do you know when I first really remember hearing it? It was the fucking track on I think it was for the first season of The Punisher.
Yeah.
And I heard that track and I was like, what the fuck is this?
I'm sure. You ever watched the Street Fighter anime, Street Fighter 2?
Nope.
No, yeah, because like, so that come out in like the 90s. And yeah. That has Wood in it.
I think I'd heard Man in the Box, and that was pretty much my extent.
Well, Tommy Dreamer. It was his theme in ECW.
Yeah, but then again, I was quite young when ECW was active, so I don't really remember much. I just remember Sandman's fucking Enter Sandman theme tune and stuff like that. But yeah, so you know, I got into Alice in Chains. I've got into Alice in Chains in a big way. I fucking love them. They're like one of my favourite bands now.
I got to see him live, but with a fucking...
The other singer.
The tour I went, when I saw him live, it was at like a festival. He was one of the singers, but they had Jonathan Davis come and sing. They had like different... people, it was at a download, and they're different people singing.
Right.
But what a lot of people don't realise is that all the backing vocals are Jerry Cantrell.
Yes.
So the sound when someone else is singing sounds very, very similar, because it wasn't just Lane on his own. It was always
Jerry. Lane Jerry. Jerry backed him up a lot. And it's the same with like Stone Temple Pilots.
That was another one. I loved Scott.
I really, really liked Velvet Revolver. Their first album, Contraband, was fucking incredible. Didn't really care for the second one so much, but the first one was amazing. First one was amazing. I he's in Stone Temple Pilots. Like, I need to give that a shout.
Yeah, so I got into Stone Temple Pilots late. I first heard the Days of the Week song. That's from Shangri-La-Di-Da, that album.
Yeah.
I heard that first, and I was like, this is fucking really good. And then when I went into the back catalogue, I was like, this shit is fucking amazing. It's really good. And then he died much, you know, probably about 10 years later.
Yeah, yeah, well, he'd already reunited with Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
Then got kicked out again. And then he died. Then I started listening to Stone Temple Pilots after he died. Because I've never listened to Stone Temple Pilots, bro. Because first track I ever listened to them was Big Empty from the Crow soundtrack.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you would have heard that way, way before, right?
No, Crow soundtrack was the first time I'd ever heard.
No, but I mean, that would have been a long time ago.
I never watched, because I was too young. Crow came out in 94. So I was like, what, 6? So, and my mum had this thing where she didn't want me to watch it because she thought it was too violent for me. And it wasn't until I was 15 that I literally said, like, I'm fucking watching this film. Because
is a long time ago. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. It became like this fucking... It was like this taboo thing where it's like, I don't want you to watch this film because it's too violent.
So now you
want
to watch it.
So now I want to watch it. And then as I was getting older, I was like, can I watch it? Can I please watch this film? She's like, no. I was like, Mum, I'm 15. Can I watch this film? She went, and my dad went, just let him watch the film. It's not that bad. And I watched it. I put the film in.
It changed your life. Because that film has had such an impact on you.
Seriously, I put that film in, yeah? And I literally, it was on tape. It was on videotape. VHS, yeah? I rewound it and watched it again. And I think I watched it every day for a week. Just literally rewound it and watched it again.
If you're new to the podcast, go back in our archives and listen to our Crow episode.
Yeah, do it.
It's had a profound effect on both of us. I mean, I remember it was my cousin. And it might have been out about a year, 2 years.
So 96, 95, yeah, 96.
And he loved it. And I remember the news with Brandon's death, right? So I remember that and the hype for it. And I think it had been on TV.
Yeah.
And he'd watched it on TV. And my cousin wouldn't stop telling me, we have to watch The Crow. And we went to the Blockbuster, right? We went to Blockbuster and we rented The Crow. And I remember sitting there and the aesthetic, the music, the fucking direction, every fucking thing hit me like a ton of bricks as a kid.
Yeah.
Like one of the biggest influential things on me, like my aesthetic, everything, boom. As soon as I fucking saw The Crow, it was like, game over.
Like the way they did the soundtrack for that film and the way they included the songs in the film, it's like literally every single song was fit for that exact
scene. Yeah.
It was perfect.
Is that I can't pick a favourite song off that album, but I think one that I listen to the most is definitely Time Baby, the medicine track.
Yeah.
I fucking love that
song.
That's
a great tune.
I love that song. I love the grunge feel of it. I love this, almost like a hidden gem that not a lot of people know about, because they make a lot of shoegaze medicine, and that's how I got into them as a band.
Right.
And that song, I love, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
I fucking love that in the summer. If I'm going out for a drink in the summer, that's one of the ones I'll be like, I'm throwing this on. And it just gets me a bit pumped, a bit into the fucking, like, the sun. Because grunge to me, for whatever reason, is like a summer vibe to me. You know, I don't know. And I think it's just because, you know, I've said it on air before, like my uncle was 10 years older than me. So when I'm like 6 or 7, he's like 17, and I'd go around there, and his walls, Smashing Pumpkins, Nirvana, like he was grunge all the way through, but also Oasis and Blur and that as well.
Yeah.
And I just loved his CD collection. That's how I got into Suede. That's how I got into like Manson. That's how I got into all this shit from my fucking uncle.
Yeah.
And like I've so many memories of that. But The Crow, I think, is like before The Crow, I think. I like the Smiths. I know I like the Smiths. I like The Cure before that. I like some older stuff that my dad had on, Motorhead, stuff like that. But when I picked up that CD after watching the movie, that changed my music scene completely.
I think actually probably that film was probably my gateway into The Cure. Because it wasn't long after that I started listening to The Cure properly.
And they were sort of passé at the time that movie came out. People had sort of fallen off on
that song. Was written for the film.
Yeah,
it doesn't appear on any album apart from I think it's like a B-side album that they did. But I actually got the chance when I saw them live in 2015. They did that song. Was on their tour, and Robert Smith come out and played the flute for the intro for the flute of it, like that bit, and then they started playing a song, and I literally grabbed my missus and was like, oh,
you know how fucking lucky,
fucking yes. Because I saw because they were doing like a couple of nights at Wembley SSE where we went to watch them. We were staying in the Premier Inn, and when we went down for breakfast the next morning, I happened to see two people loading up their plates the same time I was loading up mine, and they had Cure t-shirts on. And I just went, oh, did you catch the show last night? And they went, oh no, we're going to watch it tonight. And I was like, oh wow. I was like, is like, there any songs you're looking forward to? And they're like, I hope they play Burn. And I was like, they played it last night. They went, they might not play it tonight. Then it might be a different set tonight. And like, I honestly don't know if they played it, because it was literally there was like the staple songs that they played.
Yeah.
And then there were songs that Chop and Change. And I know that Burn was one that they played at a couple of cities, but they didn't play all of them.
And another one that really got me into, like, and I already liked The Cure, but mostly the stuff you'd hear on the radio and
just like Heaven, Love Cats, Lullaby.
Love Cats, not so much. I'm not a fan of it. But fucking Lullaby, and Just Like Heaven to this day is one of my favourite songs of theirs.
Just Like Heaven and In Between Days are two of my absolute favourite songs.
They're fucking heartbreaking songs, those two songs. They really are.
Fucking great songs.
And I remember watching like an episode of South Park.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, like, Mecca, Barbara Streisand.
Oh, and Robert Smith turns up. Yes. And then there's the... That's early. That's, like, season one or two,
and
eh?
And then at the end of the episode, he goes... He says, Disintegration is the best album ever. And I remember at that age...
It fucking is.
And I can't remember how old I was, right? And I remember going out when that episode...
Like Disintegration came out in 91.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the South Park episode. I don't know how old I can't when that was, maybe 97, something like that.
Yeah, it was late 90s.
Because I watched that on a Friday, and I always used to go and buy music on a Saturday, I went and bought Disintegration. And I remember putting that on for the first time, and the song Disintegration itself as well, and being blown away by how good that is. And then I went back and bought the other Pornography.
Sorry, 89 it came out.
89, yeah. So then I went back and bought Pornography and like really dug into their back catalogue. And I must have been like 13, 14, you know?
Disintegration's got probably some of their best songs, because that's got like Pictures of You. Yeah. That's got Love Song. I think that's, where's that got on it?
Now, Pictures of You used to be one that used to fucking make me cry when I was younger.
Well, because it's a fucking heart-wrenching song, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Pictures of You, Love Song, Lullaby, Fascination Street, Disintegration, obviously, Plain Song.
Oh, Plain Song's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, I recommend anybody listening, just go and fucking listen to that album. It's so good. But I'll tell you what my favourite Cure fucking album is. Disintegration is up there. My favourite actual Cure album is Blood Flowers.
Yeah?
I fucking love that album. I think that album's incredible. You can't get it on vinyl. No. I cannot find it on vinyl anywhere. I think it's probably the only Cure album I don't have on vinyl, because I can't find it. It's weird.
Well, we are going to get to your questions.
Yeah, sorry guys. Yeah, we get sidetracked.
We've done 20 minutes on music, but
just two bands really.
Fuck it. I'm going to start first because this is musical, so I'm going to start first.
Okay.
Like, Scott, if your band were to create a song inspired by a crime, what crime? And what would you title it? That's from Gwen, one of our most responding listeners.
Yeah. Well, Gwen, I actually had a band about 10 years ago, actually based off of a serial killer. We were called Elmer Henley, which is based off of the Candyman murders of Dean Corll. Elmer Henley was his accomplice and killer. And we had songs like What Have I Told You About Playing with Dean Corll, Wait Up, I Think You Dropped Your Insides, and Reflections, which is a lovely song about taking a girl to a motel and killing her. So
you've already done it.
I've technically already done it with another band, and actually after that band dissolved, because our drummer went to BIM, the Bryan Institution of Modern Music, I actually started, and the remaining members got a new drummer and a second guitarist, and we were a band called Saddleworth Moore.
You're going to need to explain
That was the Moors murders of Myra Hindley and Ian Brady, which they basically killed a bunch of kids and literally hid them in the moors. But that never went anywhere.
But that's also where the Smiths got their name from.
Is it?
Yeah, because Mr. and Mrs. Smith was Myra's sister and brother-in-law.
Oh, shit.
And they had to give all the... Because they were always around the house talking to them, and I think they knew more than they ever let on.
Right.
And they were all over the fucking news. The Sonic Youth album with the two people with the sunglasses smoking in a car. That's the two. That's Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
So, and the band, the Smiths, because like that Morrissey was obsessed with it because he was a kid when that happened, and he was scared fucking shitless. And they've got the song "Suffer Little Children" about the Moors murders.
Right. But if my band was to do, like my current band was to do one,
it would have to fit your style. Your style.
This is the thing, man. It's a difficult one.
Maybe Jet Ripper.
I don't know.
That's very you though, but
yeah, it's very me, but it's not the rest of the band. That's the problem. Like we're very like our current album, the one we're working on now, is a concept album.
Yeah, so it's all proggy.
It's all story driven. The whole album is going to tell a story. You can look forward to that later this year. Giggity giggity. But God, it's a difficult one, man, because I'm not a very good songwriter, so it's kind of hard to like put what I would write stuff. But yeah, Jack the Ripper's good. Maybe Albert Fish.
Fish, good.
Fish is one of my...
There's a lot you can get out of that as well, story-wise, if you want.
Yeah, you know, you could call it Strawberries and just fucking do whatever, you know, just go about fucking taking a little girl to a fucking abandoned warehouse, whatever. You know, it's difficult because obviously I'm a very good songwriter, so I wouldn't even know where to fucking start with it. But yeah, you know, I'm very prolific with my serial killers and everything. So
yeah,
I'm
sure millions.
I'm sure I'll be coming up with something.
I'll let Scott do the next question then.
Right, Samuel. If you could create a conspiracy theory about a product on the market, what would it be? That's from Gwen again.
Something retarded. Like something dumb, like socks or something. Like
cowpole.
Yeah, something. Or like a kid's toy, maybe.
Cowpole makes your child transgender.
Yeah, something like that. Something crazy like that. Or maybe like a dildo or something like that. The dildo is leaking fucking like plastics into your pussy or something like that. It'd be something like that.
A dildo turns you lesbian.
Why is that just a question for me?
Well, I don't know. It's just, you literally told me, like, these are directed at me. I know. The ones are directed at you. So I was just like, right, well, what then?
Why is it not just, why is that not both of you guys? Why is it tell me about your weird fucking conspiracy? Fucking
she thinks you probably care about conspiracy theories more than I do.
Maybe. Maybe I do. That is true. No, I do. Yeah. I consume more of it than you do, for sure. A product. Like, yeah, something dumb. Like, because we've seen stuff with products. Like, fuck it. We did the fucking Japanese vending machine. We've seen stuff.
Yeah.
So if I was going to make one up from scratch, it would be a brand I don't like. Balenciaga fucking kids. Oh, no, that's real.
Yeah, that's real.
Bud Light putting gays all over. That's real, too. I don't know. It's like, I almost bought Bud Lights just so we could open one and talk about it for a laugh. I would support the gays. I was like, no, I'm not drinking that piss. I wouldn't
fucking drink it.
I'd literally rather drink cum than the Bud Light. Yeah, something like that. Something stupid. Something... a kid's toy. I tell you what, a Buzz Lightyear that's got a dick that they didn't realise got onto the toy. A Ken doll where he fucking pushed a button on his back and he gets a boner and it was a...
I got one. All Furbies have fucking government-owned cameras built into the eyes so they can watch your children.
They may very well do.
Because those things are fucking freaky as shit.
Yeah, anything like that. No, yeah. Scott's got a better one. I think the Furby one's better than what I said, but... whose question is it? Mine. This is from Kelly. She's another one who sends a lot of questions in, amongst other things. Do you...
I never see those.
You saw this one. Do you believe some of the stories about celebrity bedroom antics?
Like what?
So she gives an example, like Richard Gere stuffing animals up his
butt. Shoving a hamster up his ass, isn't that?
I've met lots of celebrities. I 100% believe that these guys do weird shit to each other and involved in it. Epstein's Island is a fucking...
Well...
You know?
Yeah. I honestly believe that certain things are probably over-exaggerated or made up for fucking shits and giggles. Like celebrities rubbed someone the wrong way and they've gone, oh yeah, do you know what he fucking does? He likes to get fucking pegged by his missus or something like that.
Can't believe what he was doing on set.
Letting the pig
eat his poo or something.
Yeah, shit like that. There's certain things I know weren't fucking true, like Freddie Starr eating that girl's hamster and all that sort of crap.
It was a bit. It was on stage.
Yeah.
But then like the Aussie stuff with the bats is kind of bullshit too. I know it's not a kink, but...
Well, no, the Aussie thing's actually true, but it wasn't the fact that he grabbed the bat on purpose. It was supposed to be a prop, and it just so happens that a fucking bat happened to get... He grabbed it, and it fucking did it.
Yeah, but see, a lot of the fucking story behind that is he done it multiple times.
And he did it once.
He did it in a boardroom. No, it happened once.
It happened once on a live stage. That was it.
It was never Marilyn Manson sucking his own dick on stage. Not true.
Marilyn Manson having two ribs removed so he could suck his own dick.
Well, see, when I was a kid, they used to say that about Prince.
Did they?
And then suddenly Manson had, like, you know, 5 years later, it was Manson who'd done it.
But the one thing that Manson did say is actually true is his parents have his foreskin in a jar.
Yeah, but I mean, his dad died a couple of years ago. His dad, a lot of people, whether you think Marilyn Manson's a weirdo or not, right? Because a lot of people don't like him now, but a lot of this stuff's coming out to be bullshit.
It's been proven bullshit. Yeah,
but some people are never going to get over that.
Nope.
But what you have to understand is, as weird as you think he is, whenever you hear him talk about his dad had a very weird sense of humour.
Yeah.
And his dad was just a normal looking dude, but he got all of his fucking weirdness from his dad.
Yeah.
He just put it into a performative piece, you know. And yeah, and I think his parents keeping the foreskin is like a fucking rib, as a joke type thing. But as for, like, as she said, the kink shit, 100%.
What was it? The topic we had the other week, a few episodes ago, where the woman who's in the government, her husband called the police because someone attacked him with a hammer, but he had fucking two blokes around.
Two geezers in the house.
Yeah,
it's very weird. We've never had an answer for that. The official thing is, no, he got attacked by a stranger in the house.
But that stranger had no underpants on, neither did he.
Yeah, it was all
very, very strange.
I'll tell a story. I'm going to leave the name of the celebrity out of it.
I'll find out after we go off air.
Scott will find out. So I was out with a guy, you've met him, he lives here now. We were out one night, maybe 2008-ish, something like that.
Right.
And we were in this club and it was shit. It was meant to be like an alternative place and there was no one in there. It was a Saturday night as well.
That says a lot.
Yeah, and we were like, what the fuck's going on? And we went over to like this group of girls and we're like, is there anything else going on? And one of them was famous celebrity.
Yeah.
We didn't realise this. And she was like, oh, it's because it's Reading Festival. So loads of people...
End of August.
Yeah. So people that were into the music that would be playing on this night.
Especially back in 2008.
So many of them are fucked off the Reading.
But that's when Reading had good lineups.
And I was like, oh, fuck, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, well, is there anything else going on? She was like, well, we've got a party to attend, right? Mm. And there was only about eight of them. And they're like, come with us. So we were like, well, fuck it. We're going with them. And I didn't realise who I was talking to yet. Because her dad's famous, right? She's not...
She's a little bit famous now, but she's still not massive.
Well, she's dead now. Right? But when this happened, I think she only died like maybe a couple of years after this happened, this event. And we went outside with them and they had a limo waiting. We were like, oh, fuck it. And we got into this limo with her and her friends. And they took us off to the other side of London to a party. And we went to this party and it was like walking into Eyes Wide Shut when we got there.
Right.
It was fucking weird. It was this giant fucking house in North London, just past like Fulham, Chelsea area. And we went in there and there was literally people just fucking everywhere. And we looked at each other like, where the fuck have we gone? Like, cause we're just street kids, right? You know, like we're just fucking idiots. And we've walked into a lifestyle that we know nothing about with this celebrity girl. And then me and him are on a couch and we're talking to these two girls. And this guy comes over to me. Right, should have realised what was going on. And he's like, you like these girls, do you? Like, and we're like, yeah. And he's like, well, there's rooms upstairs, you know. So he says to the girls, he says, do you want to go upstairs with these guys? And they were like, giggling and whatever. And I think they were prostitutes, to be honest. I think like the party was full of women who were paid to be there. So we fuck off upstairs, me and my mate and these two girls. And then he's like, ladies, come with me. And he goes, right, guys, go in the room. We walk in this room, this cunt locks the door behind us. And this room is full of fucking dildos. And fucking weird beds and sex swings.
The fuck, do you find yourself in these situations?
Because I'm an idiot. Because I fucking go, oh yeah, we'll come with you to a party, I don't know, with a bunch of junky fucking celebrities. That makes sense. So we're in there, and then he's trying to open the door, and my mate is holding on to the door. He's like, I ain't letting this cunt in. And you could hear he was with about five other people, and we were like, no, we're going to get raped. Or yeah. And we were fucking panicking. So inside there, they had like a big statue of a mummy.
Right.
I'm just like, fuck it, throw it in front of the door. So he dragged this thing in front of the door and the guy's trying to open it and it's hitting the statue. And the statue's wobbling, it's going to come over.
Yeah.
And my friend opens the window and leaps out.
How high
up? And leaves me in the room. One story.
That was not bad.
So I run over and look and he's landed on the roof of a bus stop.
Nice.
Which was below. So literally we're only talking about 5 foot from the window to the bus stop roof.
Safe drop.
The fucking thing falls over and the door's opening. I don't know why we had taken a lot of drugs. The chances are that it wasn't as bad as we just assumed that these guys were, there was a bunch of guys
in
the dildo
bummed.
Room. We were going to get done. So I throw myself out this window. I hit the top of the bus stop roof and I go through the fucking thing. Like, and I am hurting. I hit it. I hit the seat below. I fucking roll. I'm bleeding. All my arms cut up because the fucking glass and shit smashed. My mate's laughing.
Of course he is.
Because he's high as fuck. And a bus pulls up. And he's just trying to pull me on this bus. We got on this bus and we go away. And I just remember in that moment just being like, where the fuck? And then we got in more trouble after that because now we were like laughing about it. So we ended up getting arrested and whatever. But we went to this place and it was literally like walking into Eyes Wide Shut. Like the moment we got through the door, we went,
this is wrong.
Dorothy, we ain't in fucking Kansas anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But because there were girls there chatting to us, we were like, we'll stick it out. And there was drugs everywhere.
Yeah, drugs, so it was.
And when I'm saying drugs, I'm talking like heroin, like every kind of
hard
drug.
Hard shit,
cocaine, everything. And like, it was so bizarre. And it was just the way we were in that room. And I just remember in there and the lights were off. We turned the light on and I'm like sex swings, like fucking everything you can think of. Little cages that people crawl into. Like there was a bed with a tarpaulin over it for like scat or whatever. And I just remember thinking we shouldn't be in this room.
Yeah.
Whatever's happened here, this is not where we want to be. And he was like, oh, we'll just fight our way out. And I was like, there's about 100 people here. Like, how are you fighting your way out?
This ain't fucking John Wick.
Yeah, I'm not going to do an old boy down the corridor. Yeah. A lot of them. Like, and it was the way that I just heard this boom. And I was like, God's just throwing himself out the window. So yeah, I've worked with celebrities. I've met lots of celebrities. I've been to this party. They definitely like some weird shit. Definitely.
What's the most bizarre crime story you've come across, and would you do an episode on it? That is from Joe.
The most bizarre toy box killer?
Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting, and yes, absolutely would do one of those. The Chris Watts story's weird, but not in the bizarre way, it's just horrible.
Chris Watts. I know you've told me that before.
Yeah, murdered his two daughters and his wife because he was having an affair and was going to get caught.
It's just
horrible, and he lied about it, and he tried to get away with it, and they ended up catching him for it, but he was just like a sociopath, just sitting there lying and lying and lying to the police. That's a weird one. But toy box is so fucking disturbing that probably needs a fucking warning on the front of the episode.
Yeah, I've listened to that guy. I've listened a couple of times, different podcasts covering that story. Yeah, it's definitely something, isn't it? That one.
You got any Scott you can think of?
Yeah. I'm just trying to fucking remember the name of the family so I can pronounce it correctly. It's one I think I might have suggested to you in the past. That's it. The Miyazawa family murders. So this is a case in Japan where on New Year's Day, a family was found dead in their house with no signs of break-in and no evidence. Apart from the idea that the killer basically killed the family, stayed there overnight, made himself something to eat.
You did tell me this,
and then fucked off, and never found out who it was.
Yeah,
and I just I'm not sure if Joe meant bizarre as in what the fuck, or bizarre and is like what the fuck.
Yeah, well, there's two different ways, but yeah, both those answers work because Toy Box is just fucking brutal, and that one is just a mystery. I mean, if I was going to say one that we've done, like already, just to throw that in there as well. Harry Horse was weird. I know you weren't on that episode, and I think we will return to that at some point. It was fucking weird. It's a weird story. It's a weird crime. It doesn't make fucking sense.
Everything about that case just screams, what the fuck?
Yeah, and it's like some of the other ones we can joke. Like Stephen Port, we made loads of jokes. Luca, we made loads of jokes. But something about Harry Horse just always stuck with me of like, I can't believe this guy would do that.
No. With what I know from the story, obviously, because I didn't do the research for the episode, but the man loved his wife. He fucking cared for her.
Yeah.
Why would he just then turn around and fucking stab her that many times?
And mutilating your own dick like that, and it just doesn't make sense.
You bleed out in minutes from castration unless it's fucking treated to instantly.
And then stab himself like 80 times as well. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, and then obviously killing your two dogs as well. I mean, as a petter, you know,
it almost seems personal, that shit.
I couldn't even fucking fathom like killing mine, but
no. Yeah, I think out of the ones we've done, that's the one that's like, I know that wasn't his question, but I thought I'd throw that in there as well. There was something about that that just didn't seem
there's
right.
No real motive, is it? There's no, like, with the ones, other ones we've covered, there's some form, not motive, but there's some purpose behind why they've done it. Harry Horse is the one that just boggles the mind as to why.
Yeah.
Which is why, again, I'll reiterate, as I have said on multiple episodes, whenever this comes up, I honestly don't believe he killed her. I reckon he was murdered as well. And I think it was a ritual sacrifice.
Some sort of something, yeah. Either ritual sacrifice or there's someone he pissed off. Because we spoke about on the episode about his weird anti-government stuff, his conspiratorial stuff. He definitely was pissing. He was well known as an artist. And yeah, something went wrong with Harry Horse. For sure.
Yeah.
We'll never know. Like, and unless, well, because even in the episode, and like, it's hard to find out, they went, oh, it's been about 25 years since something like this last happened. Well, what last happened?
Yeah. But
it's a weird way of saying things.
It's like, also the fact that they flat out refuse to reopen the case.
Yep. They won't release the details of the
case.
Only
the Weiss family know what actually happened. No one else does.
Yeah. They know the evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. And even that could be fucked with or whatever. It's very weird.
It's a very untrustworthy case.
Yeah, we're talking an island with about 1,000 people on it. It just doesn't make sense.
No.
None of that makes sense. I already know Scott's answer for this. What was the most awkward or hilarious moment you've experienced while recording this podcast? I think you're going to send me into an argument.
Yeah,
awkward for sure.
Yeah, your and Tian's fight over fucking League of Legends was something.
It was definitely awkward for sure.
Me and Chris just sat there, just like they are literally arguing about why League of Legends is shit, and Tian's not defending himself; he's just arguing for the sake of arguing.
Yeah, he does that though.
But yeah, there's that. There's it's been a couple of awkward moments where
We had an episode that never aired. That was pretty awkward.
Yeah, there's the episode that never aired that we recorded where it was... there was four of us there for that one. And it was...
Someone just had a bee in their bonnet the whole fucking time.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was...
I'm going to turn up to a podcast episode and be standoffish the entire fucking time.
Yeah, but it wasn't even like, I appreciate your opinion, but you're wrong. It was just a flat out, yeah, you're wrong.
Just constant.
Yeah, and there's no seeing that episode. Yeah, that episode was just like...
And I remember apologising to you. It was a fucking waste of our time. Like,
yeah.
Because it just turned out to be like just someone just being... And it was aimed at me. I'll admit it was, but I was never trying to antagonize him. I was trying to fuck, because I'm hosting a show. I'm not trying to piss one off. That was pretty awkward.
And an episode, do you know, I'll tell you what, an episode I wasn't actually involved with.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because I couldn't make the episode, but the
Tian's
comments during the fucking live stream episode towards Larissa. Oh, it was like, what the fuck?
And that's the episode, that's what I was going to say is that, because then he got his dick out on camera.
Yeah.
And I was just like, right, I'm glad we didn't choose Twitch to stream us on, because we'd have been fucked. I'm glad we did it privately with about 30 people in the chat, because this is fucking wrong.
But one of our live streamers led to one of the funniest fucking things was Les's photo.
Just photoshopping Tien and getting bummed.
And that fucking guy with the portrait photo with the small dick and Tien's head fucking photoshopped on it. Fucking cracked me up.
Yeah, well, that works. That works for the most hilarious.
That threw you off massively, that one, didn't it?
I was crying with laughter as soon as it... Because I had the screen in front of me. It just popped up, this fucking dude with his tiny dick.
It popped up on mine as well. I was like, wait, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, that's most hilarious. Like, there's been a few other things. Like, we've done some... When we've done our little role-play bits and episodes, they're quite funny. They're good.
I still kind of bring up the Cumtown Massacre just because of how fucking on the spot that was for me. For me personally, because we weren't... Those little skits that we did for the Rez episode and the Heaven's Gate episode, like, they were improv to fuck.
We just make them up, yeah.
Because we never planned any of that shit. So, yeah, whatever we came up with was literally whatever popped into our head at the time.
And I like doing them, but you need three to do it. You can't do it with two. It's not the same.
And it needs to be at the right point as well. You can't just do it willy-nilly.
Yeah, like the TM will just randomly go, let's role-play this one. TM, fuck off.
Yeah, no, it's like, this needs to fit. Yeah, yeah. So, right, this is from Jeff. My name's Jeff. Have you ever had to censor or cut out a particular offensive or offensive comment from an episode?
Yes.
Yes!
Lots. Yeah. Almost every episode, there's something I'm like, that shit's going to get cancelled, so we can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, if you sign up to the podcast, you might find some of those fucking snippets on the fucking...
On the Patreon. The thing me and John did that went up on the Patreon is absolute filth, where it was just me and John talking just like about whatever the fuck came to mind.
Yeah.
Because that was meant to be an episode, and I said to him, I can't put this out. I cannot... For good, when he's talking about like threesomes and also, I was like, I cannot put this out. We will be in so much fucking trouble. But if you want to hear it, it's on the Patreon.
Yeah,
so.
It's on the Patreon. It's only £2.
But that was quite funny. And every episode. In fact, when it's just me and Scott, not so much.
Well, we're quite.
There's a few times I've edited stuff where we've kind of doxed ourselves a little bit. We've spoke too much about
something we shouldn't.
Yeah, you know, personal lives or whatever. But but it's actually episodes like this that we do it. Where we say something stupid. It's more like the dumb shit. When Tien's here, he brings a different energy. He really is a dumbass. Like, the guy you hear on... I love him, but like the guy you hear, that's who he is.
There's no character there. That is 100% the real deal.
Yeah, he's like that, and he brings the stuff...
And his dick really is that small.
Ask Les, he saw it. And the other people in that episode who watched it, they all saw his tiny penis. No, they saw his balls. That's how tiny.
Oh yeah,
that's how tiny his penis is.
Yeah, hit click and enhance.
Yeah, and even then, fuck it. I'm just gonna Photoshop one on there just so there's something there. Like,
fucking Frankfurter.
But yeah, he brings the goofy energy, and sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not. Like, there's a few episodes we've done, me and Scott have done, where it's very hard to make a joke. And you sort of think, would he have brought an energy, or would it have been, like you said, something that has to be cut?
Yeah.
Do you know, like, would it have brought an energy where he says something that we can't fucking air? I did have to censor once a story about a celebrity I told, where I named a celebrity.
And I remember that one.
This is how I learnt I can't name motherfuckers on
air. Yeah, yeah, you can't be naming, especially the person you named. It was like, there's no way you could name that person because he's fucking beloved by everybody.
Even
Megastar, but like, again, even the story that you told... was a very sort of like a wholesome story in that aspect of, yeah,
you
like
kind of felt sorry for him a little bit.
Yeah, like, and it was, it wasn't like the guy fucking went, well, I'm having you anyway. It was okay, misunderstood. And he still looked after him,
yeah,
regardless
of it.
And then
they became friends, and
that's fucking cool. That sort of aspect is fucking cool of it. But yeah, you can't be going, oh, by the way, it was this person.
Yeah, and I had to end up putting it on the Patreon and putting it there because it's... But it went with that story, right? I'll tell the story very, very briefly. A friend of mine met a famous celebrity who is gay. They were at an event. They went out all night. The gay celebrity invited him back to his house. And after a few drinks, the gay celebrity was like, would you like to come up for a nightcap and stay with me in my bed? And my mate was like, no, I'm not gay. And he said, okay, I'll have the housekeeper make you a bed up. And then they became friends afterwards. Like, it wasn't a bad story, but as soon as I went to put that, when I first uploaded the episode, I got a warning like that straight away in the inbox. Like, you can't, like, because I think some celebrities, especially someone like that, who's a well-known celebrity.
And a much loved
And I love him as well. Yeah. I was never trying to say
anything
bad.
One of my favourite actors.
Yeah, I was never trying to say anything bad about him. That story, obviously there's a tech involved with things that are looking out for...
Celebrity names. It's like you cannot call that person, you cannot name that person
in
this
story. And
the
same thing happened when I told a story once about a guy who liked summer holidays.
Oh, yeah.
When I told that story, same thing happened. I got a warning for that too.
Yeah, so you got to remove it.
So yeah, so it happens sometimes by choice, and then sometimes it happens because...
I think even naming the person, it's more of naming it so that the us who are recording it understand who you're talking about, so we don't accidentally blurt it out, but at the same time it's technically defamation.
Yeah, like the story I just told from the previous question. Like, I can't say who I was with, because even though they're... Well, you can kind of get away with it if they're dead, because no one can really...
Yeah, but even then, it's still speaking.
But morally, it's kind of a bit weird. Because that person died in a very strange...
I didn't even realize that person was dead.
Very strange.
I completely forgot about that.
Circumstances. It was reported in the paper that there was some cultish shit involved in that person.
Jesus.
So after experiencing what I experienced by going to this place where they were all fucking and it was all weird and there's drugs everywhere and candles, they had weird music on, like they had like fucking like weird like sort of semi satanic music going on. And Eyes Wide Shut is the best description. There were masked people there, not in the same ornate mask, but kind of debutante mask type stuff on there.
Just over the eyes.
We were cunts in fucking skinny jeans and t-shirts. Everyone else is in suits or naked. It was really fucking not the place for us. And
a vampire nightclub, that.
Kind of like that. And with that, like, I can't name who that was because we could get fucking sued to oblivion.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So, That's the answer to that. So I've got a question. This is one for Scott.
Oh, actually for me.
It's another music one as well.
God, I think I was a musician.
Who the fuck asked this? A guy as well. Jesus.
Oh, God.
Scott, if your band had to play a gig in a strip club, how would you adapt your performance? It's from John, not our friend John, who comes on here sometimes. Another John.
We wouldn't. It would literally be the exact same act you get anywhere else.
You wouldn't sex it up a little bit and have strippers on stage and I think...
No, it wouldn't work.
No, Dust Till Dawn style, we'll never go that far.
We do not.
Let's put a question in your head.
No, I was just trying to think, of a song that could work for the Salma Hayek's dance and from Dust Till Dawn. I don't think we already have a song for that.
Yeah, some of your older stuff maybe, but your newer stuff's so proggy that it doesn't...
I mean, yeah, I'd fucking play anywhere, but, you know, we wouldn't go full fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers and walk out with just socks on our dicks and just fucking play a set. You know, you'd get the same fucking band that you would get wherever we play, which is a performance you'd remember.
Yeah, it's back to you, Scott.
Back to me. Where are we at? Okay, this is from Kelly.
She asks a lot.
Sam, I find your voice alluring. And at times it makes me feel a little something.
A little something, eh?
Yeah, a little something. Probably a small penis. It's TNs.
TNs, yeah.
Have you ever considered using your voice talents in a more adult-themed setting?
No, I haven't. Okay, although, actually, if you listen to the episode that aired before this, I did say that anyone could use my voice for that sort of thing. So, you're right.
You might find it.
No, I've not thought about doing anything with my voice other than maybe some voice acting. What's adult? Like some ASMR or some shit? I don't know. Like,
I think does she mean like fucking like hentai?
Maybe. Some porno.
Yeah, like, you mean like hentai?
Porn dubbing, I don't know.
Yeah, hentai dubbing or something like that.
Maybe reading filthy shit out. Well, we do that on air sometimes. Ooh, anyway.
You know, like the fuck, probably one of the best audiobooks that never ever was Gilbert Godfrey reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Exactly. Rest in peace.
Put one out for Gilbert Godfrey. For Gilbert. What
a fucking legend.
An absolute legend. Funny motherfucker too.
Fucking absolutely hilarious.
Both blue and then non-blue. Yeah. The cunt could be funny regardless of what he was doing.
Amy asked you, I was like, do you reckon he's putting that voice on? Is it actually his voice? And I literally looked up interviews like, it's his voice. He actually sounds like that.
Yeah, like because obviously he was a friend of Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan has a lot of comedians on, being the fact that Joe Rogan is a comedian, people forget that. And some of those episodes are fucking hilarious. And that's his voice. That's Gilbert Godfrey's voice. My next question is also from Kelly. But no, I don't... Look, what we do, I class as adult because we don't mince our words. But I don't... I'll never get into, like, OnlyFans.
I think... I honestly think she means just, like, a voice acting setting more than anything.
But if you enjoy my voice and it makes you feel a little something, as you said, then...
Send videos to Tim.
More power to you. Sent more power to you. If you want to...
you were going to repeat it, but you changed your mind.
More power to you. I didn't change my mind. More power to you. Strum as much as you like. Scott's just destroying the studio.
Sorry about me.
My next question is also from...
I'm not going to fucking go.
Kelly.
I win.
Which conspiracy theory do you think could be secretly a marketing campaign? COVID-19 vaccine.
Well, yeah.
Any pharmaceutical thing. Anything pharmaceutical, really. They lie so much about shit. Like, medical's the way to go. Like, so much shit is peddled to people. Makeup, Botox, all this shit is so weird. Anything to do with that. A lot of stuff are aimed at women. What size you are, how slim you should be.
The fucking spray that they advertise, that fucking, like... You get guys that are going bold down the middle, and you get this fucking spray that automatically makes hair follicles grow on your head. All that sort of shit. That's all the fucking massive ass conspiracy bullshit. It's not massive conspiracy. It's not like world breaking sort of shit, but it's all bullshit. Is there, you know, all these fucking penis enlargement pills?
All bollocks, yeah.
It's all bollocks.
I mean, cigarettes, I suppose, was a real conspiracy. They lied through their teeth about the health damages when they knew for years and years and years. That happened, but then they've done that with, you can probably name hundreds of products where they've lied.
All
this Roundup is a big one. That's a real one that happened with Roundup, where they're poisoning motherfuckers. When we did the Paracat, obviously it was getting banned around the world from the Japanese vending machine episode, and America wouldn't ban it for years. It was fucking giving people cancer and all sorts of shit. Honestly, any fucking shit you see a cunt peddling on TikTok for a start, all the adverts on that are all bollocks. It's all bullshit.
Apart from the Amazon finds. The Amazon find TikToks, they are fucking legit.
Yeah?
I reckon. Shit you can buy on Amazon, and it's all, like, cheap and it's useful as fuck.
Yeah, but you probably find it on Alibaba for 50p. That's where most of those things have come from, Alibaba first, and then...
Probably, yeah. But not many people know about Alibaba as they do about Amazon.
Right, Scott, you're up for two in a row.
Two in a row, right. This is from Brian. If you could create a video game about a crime or conspiracy, what would it be?
Ripper. Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, fucking right.
What fucking game that'd be? That'd be fucking excellent.
Would you be the detective or would you be the Ripper?
Two modes. Two modes and an online.
Two separate story modes.
Two separate story modes and then maybe an online, like the old Assassin's Creed online mode where one was the assassin and you have to...
Yeah.
Like that.
That's a good shout. That's a very good shout. You could do that about any sort of serial killer and murderer.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you could just do that. Two modes.
But Ripper's so far back in time, you can get away with it. Like, if you were to say Dharma, the game, like, you're getting in trouble.
No, but you could do, like, Bundy.
Maybe.
And you are literally...
Dead by... Left 4 Dead or one of those sort of games. No, Dead by Daylight, one of those sort of games where... One of you is the killer and there's four of you who have to, like, live and survive. One of those sort of things.
I was thinking more like along the lines of you could be this... so maybe strip it down because obviously Bundy was very...
There's sex crimes involved.
Well, just very widespread in his crimes. Like, you know, he didn't just stick to... He was in Seattle originally, then he went down to fucking Salt Lake, then he went to Florida.
You base it in A City and then...
Yeah. So you base it in A City. So, you do Night Stalk, you do Ramirez.
That would work. Ramirez
and you basically LA Noir style... So you go, you examine the crime scene, you check it out.
Zodiac, maybe.
Zodiac would be interesting, but we never found out who Zodiac was.
But then that's why it's brilliant for a game, because maybe it's open-ended and you've got like 20 suspects you can kind of name.
Yeah, but but you couldn't really...
Berkowitz, Son of Sam could be a good... There's a lot of them that could be...
Yeah, but Berkowitz wasn't necessarily the fucking only killer in that, so...
But that's why it would be a good game. Right?
Yeah, maybe.
That's why I want to... The thing is with like a lot... Like when we have spoken in the past, we want to do ones that aren't well known. The thing with Berkowitz... Much like when we're going to revisit Charles Manson, there's new information that no cunt's talking about.
Well, there's a podcast that came out 2 years ago called Sons of Sam, and it is the idea that...
There's multiple parts.
The idea that Berkowitz only maybe did two.
And this is definitely a fucking fact.
And the fact that the idea is that the witness descriptions don't match up in every single murder, and the fact that one of them was meant to be a woman.
And then you have the occult stuff involved as well. Yeah, like some cases like that are worth revisiting. I know that's not what you asked, but they are worth revisiting. I think you'd have to avoid sex crimes. Like, I think you would actually have to avoid rapists. I don't think you could get a game greenlit where you're a rapist.
Yeah.
But maybe you could do H.H. Holmes, a fucking hotel that you trip out and trap out.
Kind of just did that with... Dark Pictures Anthology.
Yeah?
Yeah, The Devil in Me was basically based on H.H. Holmes. You got that film that's got Malcolm in the Middle in it. Is it called Game Over? And it was about these guys that test out this video game, which is based on the... I meant to bring up a conversation we had the other week. Is she called The Bloody Baroness? Elizabeth something.
Oh, we did speak about The Bloody Baroness.
So basically there's a film made in the around mid, I think it's like late 2000s that had fucking old kiddie that played Malcolm in the Middle in it. And it's like you play this game that's based like a first person view of you're trying to escape her castle and she's trying to kill you. But it's something up with the programming and she comes to life and she actually starts killing the people trying to play the game. It's an old film. Stay Alive.
Stay Alive, okay.
It was called Stay Alive. Yeah, a group of teens, the answer to mysterious death of their own friends lies within the world of an online video game based on a true story of an ancient noblewoman known as the Blood Countess. Yeah, Elizabeth Bathory, that's it. Countess Elizabeth Bathory.
Which is where the band Bathory come from, that name, yeah.
But she was Eastern European. She was basically, like, she was the Countess. And what she was doing is she was taking virgins,
bathing in their blood and all that, virgin girls
from these places, killing them and bathing in their blood to stay youthful.
I know the story. It's a good. It's fucking creepy shit.
She's probably one of the most prolific serial killers in history.
But yeah, I'll go H.H. Holmes actually, for the reason of you open the video game up and you've got like a hotel. You can see it from the side view, like this War of Mine, one of those, all the rooms and shit. And maybe you've got a time limit to trip out the hotel rooms for the guests to arrive and then trap them and all that shit in which rooms and stuff. Maybe you could do it online where it's like you've got your prep, like boom, 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 trap door here, this, that, there. And then people have got the idea of the person playing against you is they've got to find what room you're in, but you've trapped out the whole building. That'd be cool.
Yeah, there's also the idea that you could do it like there's a game that came out recently. But the idea is that you build a fortress and these people have to basically storm your fortress and try and beat it. And you could do that sort of thing. Like, is it like maybe a side scroller sort of thing where you yourself, you're side on. So you have to kit out each room in traps.
Like Fallout Shelter, like that.
Kit out each room in traps. But the people that actually go into it are like a first person view and they go in and they have to escape your hotel with as minimal casualties as possible.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You could even do it like, if you're going to do it offline, you can just make it sort of like theme park, like one of that, build your death hotel.
That'd be cool.
Like 2-point
murder hotel tycoon. Yeah,
exactly. Like that would be pretty cool. I mean, that's an obvious one because it's so, like we said with Jack the Ripper, it's so long ago that no one's getting offensive by it. Unless you just go full out and go, fuck it, we're doing Vlad the Impaler the game or some mad shit. Like all those wars and stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, you play as him, you're in the wars, you're telling your armies where to go and then you're piking people. That'd be cool.
Piking people. Right, that was from Brian. So next one we got Sarah. It goes, which true crime story would make the most inappropriate party game and how would it be played?
Oh, Naked Twister.
Grinder
Killer, the party game. You got to spike someone's drink and no one knows. You all do shots and one of you has your drink spiked and gets bummed. That's the answer. Mystery shot. Everyone does one and one of you passes out and then everyone bums him. That's it.
Randy Stair, the party game. He's got paintballs and a shotgun, and you've got to try and avoid getting shot by him in a supermarket.
Yeah, and the only way to catch him is to grab his mum's knickers. Give
him some women's clothes and see if you can fucking get him to convince him to cross dress.
What you could do is you get a snake and some cats.
You got to dress up as fucking Ember from Danny Phantom and fucking persuade him.
Grinder Killer one. That made you laugh, so that's good. If we make each other laugh, that's good. Are there any we haven't done that you could do? I guess you could do, like we mentioned, the Zodiac already. Maybe like someone's got a code you've got to decipher. That could be a party game. But
everybody goes out into a park. Someone is the Zodiac. They've got to try and take out everybody. It's pretty much like Among Us.
Yeah, like Among Us. But then that's kind of how you would do it. Like people play this like live action Cluedo or some shit. You could easily adapt that to a real crime that happened.
Live action Cluedo sounds pretty good.
I mean, I guess we could play the Manson family and everyone's just got to get on a rug and fuck while someone plays a guitar. I'd be behind that party game.
Yeah. What was it? Cluedo. Sorry, fucking Guess Who?
Guess Who?
Yeah, but everybody's got to try and... Guess Who
Serial Killer Edition.
Yeah.
That's a really... Why doesn't that exist? I don't know. A really cool fucking idea.
Oh, fucking... I don't know.
We play Heaven's Gate, Pass the Punch. Loser gets castrated.
Jonestown Cum Massacre.
Yeah, the Cumtown Massacre. That's definitely going on.
Cumtown Massacre.
Yeah, there's quite a few. We just need more time thinking. Like, you know, you could do like beer pong, but it's sort of
John Wayne Gacy's Hide the Sausage.
Hide the Sausage. You could do that. Yeah, Tien's got a fucking murder themed party coming up. So this is actually a good question because we could bring these up on the night.
Coming up soon, isn't it?
Yeah. So I've got my last question, and Scott's got two more. So. Mine is, look, I'm not going to complain because obviously you guys are picking up on the conspiracy and murder and crime stuff. So if you could create a cocktail inspired by a crime, what would you name it and what ingredients would you use? And this is from Barry, but it's not my mate Barry.
Another Barry. I'm not sure what would be in it. You could do the Stephen Port cocktail.
Literally. Yeah. Just whatever he used.
Yeah, whatever he used. You have it, you wake up somewhere else, and you wake up fucking on a curb in the morning.
Yeah, it's a good question, though. What cocktail would I make and what ingredients would I have? I'm trying to think, like, maybe you do the Dharma, right? And maybe you make it sort of look like, you know, tomato juice and bloody and... Yeah, you could do that, olives and stuff in it. Look like eyeballs. You do the Gacy and you just put clown colours layered throughout it, like
and a fucking
call it the pogo,
a gherkin sticking out of it like a cock,
a big cock hanging out of it. Yeah, the weird thing is straight away I go to ones we've done, which is weird. It's like you do the Randy Stair, it's just a instead of an umbrella sticking out, it's just a pair of women's knickers. The Columbine cocktail might be good. It's very explosive.
The Randy Stair fucking gives you a massive headache in the morning.
Definitely, yeah. But yeah, like the Stephen Port's the best answer.
The Stephen Port.
Whatever drug he used. Any drink. Order any drink. It's going in there.
The ultimate shit mix.
Yeah. I played that game, Route 96, and there's a part in that where you get offered a drink, and he's like, give him the Maverick. And then they give you the drink and you pass out. And the guy's like, what did you put in there? And he was like, everything.
The Maverick.
Yeah, that's the Stephen Port. You give him the Maverick. So he's got every alcohol on the top shelf is going in it. And you down it in one. You are lights out.
Yeah.
Which is how he liked them. So you've got your last two questions, Scott.
Of course. This one's from Gwen. Sam, what's the most awkward or embarrassing thing a listener has used in your DMs? I think she means sent to your DMs.
Yeah.
I fucking know. And she also goes in brackets, do not say me.
You. Definitely you. Nice tits, by the way. I'm joking. Yeah, we mentioned it on the other episode. A fucking Photoshop of me
getting bummed. Oh no, bumming someone
was pretty weird. I've had just random shit. Just people sitting there going like, "Nice cock." Like my cock is not exposed anywhere online. Why are you telling me?
They're talking about Tian.
Well, yeah, they won't be saying nice. They'll be saying small cock. Listen, I don't mind what people send me, really. Like, it doesn't bother me that much. The gay stuff's a bit weird because I'm not into it. Like, if I get sent tits, I'm like, nice tits. Like, but that's it. It's never going any further than that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, erect cocks are pretty bad. Pretty bad. Someone asked me to marry him the other day. That was weird. Guy, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they were like, "Where do you see yourself in the future?" I was like, "I don't know." And he was like, "Hopefully married to me." And I was like,
"Do you know where I see myself in you?"
Yeah, I was like, thanks, pal. Yeah, like it's mostly like means I've been some weird shit as well, like weird recordings of people screaming and stuff. Like I'm like a target for fucking weirdos since doing this podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome. Never should have done it. You can fucking keep that.
It's my own fault because I published. I put myself out there too much. I really do.
I don't.
And 9 times out of 10, I'll answer someone if they've got a genuine question. You know?
Yeah, that's the problem.
So I open my eyes.
You interact with the weirdos that listen to this show.
I do, yeah. And you are all weird. Like, the email we got the other day from a girl complaining was weird. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was a very strange thing. But I know, I'm not going to name the person. We've got a friend who is like over 1 million YouTube subscribers. He gets a lot of weird shit like that from chicks too, because I've spoken to him about it.
I think that's just in a general case when you start getting some sort of traction as part of like a podcast or whatever you're doing. There's like a mild hint of fame, and with a mild hint of fame comes the weird attraction from people.
Yeah, and the negativity as well. Like I get a lot of that. People go, "Fuck yourself" and all that stuff. Like, but the sex stuff, look, like I said, Tian loves it. Tian will accept all of it. He really would.
Yeah.
Male and female. He loves it. I mean, there's times I've caught him fucking replying and shit, and I'm like, "You dirty little bastard."
Yeah.
Like where someone's going, "Hey guys," you know, and he's like, "Oh, go and send me something." And I've caught it when we used to have the page where people would send it to there. Now, since the name changed, they fucking send it straight to me. Whereas before, sometimes, not naming other members of this podcast, sometimes other people would catch it, and I'd have to tell them, I'm like, stop fucking replying, don't encourage it, because the problem is, for me, the problem is, it's my fucking picture on the back, it's my face on the fucking page. Yeah,
people think.
Do they
you.
Know they're talking to you? Like, yeah. And with Tian, fair play to him, only once did he lie and pretend he was me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she lied every time it was you.
Yeah. Because I got a friend request off this girl, and I was like, "Oh, I'll accept this." And then within 10 minutes of accepting it, she was like, "Oh, I thought it's better to talk to you here. Like, you know, I was so horny about you. Nude pictures." And I was like, I've never spoke to this girl in my life.
Yeah.
But she's saying, like, you know, "How's Gansey?" All this shit. So I went into the other inbox for the page. And there was like days worth of fucking flirting and talking about fucking and all sorts of shit back and forth. But when I went to the top, it was like the first thing she said was, "Hi, Sam." And the reply was like, "Hi."
Oh, God.
And I said it to him. He was like, "Yo, I did think it was a bit weird that she kept using your name." I was like, "Just say it. It's not Sam, it's Tian. I don't care."
That'll put her off straight away, though.
Yeah, that would, I guess. Yeah, no. The lady stuff, you know, I'm into women, so it's not as bad. The dicks are odd. Erect dicks are odd.
An erect dick does look weird.
I don't really
just in general it looks weird.
I don't
weird.
Even want to look at my own that yeah, much.
Exactly. So it's a weird looking thing, you know. The dicks are weird looking things.
Yeah, so to open your inbox and see like a dick.
Just be grateful that a woman lets you put it in her.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a dude, whatever you're into.
Or whatever you're into. But yeah, to open your inbox and see a dick dripping with cum is not...
Well, that's weird.
It's not what I want to see when I'm trying to eat my breakfast.
Why would you want to take a picture of that? What possesses you to take a picture of that?
People are weird, though. I mean, I know girls get sent shit like that all the time. So, and I've got random...
And they don't like it.
They don't like it. Well, I've randomly got like a massive gay following. So...
Because you're a bear.
I think so. They don't know what you look like.
Well, they don't know I'm as more hairy than you.
I don't know, about the same, I think. I don't know.
What, chest hair and everything? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fucking Oh, yeah, no. They're the same, yeah. Mine's just starting to go grey.
Yes. Mine has as well, but not as bad as yours.
Just at the top here.
Yeah. Around the chest, I've got tons of greys, yeah. It's fucking disgusting.
My back's as bad as well. My back is bad. My shoulders and back are just fucking covered. But yeah, like, I don't know. They're fucking, like, and I will actually put it as a disclaimer. I don't want to see your penis.
Which means you're going to get even more now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Streisand effect.
That's it. What you should have said is, I want to see more cock, and you will get less.
No, because I wouldn't. That would make it work. Yeah. That's the, you know, either way.
You can't win either way. You're getting cock.
Tien does want to see your cock, though. So
look up Tien Sweet and just fucking
exactly.
Send it to him.
He's been on multiple episodes. Don't send them to me. Send them to Tien.
Or better yet, send them to Chris or Jake.
I think one of them, I think Chris may have received a few
in the past. Yeah,
have a look at this cocky quiet cunt. yeah, well, we had some problems about female attention. Someone got very jealous on this podcast about who was getting attention and stuff. But yeah, next question.
Last question is from Claire. And it says, if you had to choose a notorious criminal to be a guest on your podcast for a No Holds Barred episode, who'd you pick and why?
It's one we've done. It's Luca, man.
Luca would be fun.
It's Luca, right? It's Luca such a weird really cunt. Interesting. He's such a weird fucker. And he'd do it because he loves the attention.
The attention. Well, yeah.
Yeah, Luca would be good. A lot of them we've already done are dead.
Yeah, well, they always go out with themselves. So, yeah.
Maybe some of the more recent ones that have been arrested, like some of these shooters and stuff, maybe to dig into the psyche of them. But Luca would be good. That'd be really good to get him on.
It's a tough one, man. I mean,
we include people that are dead.
Claire didn't specify. She just said a notorious criminal.
I mean, Bundy would have been excellent to fucking.
Bundy would be amazing, although he'd be charming as fuck. Ramirez.
Yeah.
Would be interesting.
Gacy and a weird cunt. Heaven's Gate would be fantastic to talk to those cunts.
Yeah.
He looks straight at the picture straight away.
I know exactly where he is.
He's above my head. Oh, yeah, Marshall.
Manson
would have been fucking like that. Because I've seen interviews with the guy. It'd be so fucking good to have interviewed him when he was alive. So fucking good.
Notorious criminal, which doesn't mean killer.
I know what you're going to say.
Bronson.
Yeah, I knew that straight away. Yeah, Bronson would be great. That could even happen, actually. Like, if we got a little bit bigger, that could happen.
Yeah.
We bring a kind of energy to this podcast sometimes that is maybe a bit too friendly. But I don't think it's something that they would be used to getting from an interview.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you can get little things out of them that they wouldn't normally say.
As soon as you start making them feel comfortable, they start opening up a little bit more.
Yeah, because we're not fucking like... Because who do they speak to? Psychologists? Like, and they're always like, come on, tell me this, tell me that. But we're laughing and joking with them.
Or or people from newspapers or news channels and that. They'll be asking the serious questions. We'll be like... But for Charlie Bronson, for example, you know, I saw the film with Tom Hardy. What did you think of it? You know, he says whatever he says. And he was like, the scene where it depicts like him strangling that nonce in the psychiatrist, in the psychiatric ward. And it's like, what did you think of that? Well, did that actually happen? What actually happened there? Did that person actually exist? I'd like to get to the bottom of shit and kind of know, like, you know, we compared, like, the film to us is like the biop. It's not an official one. But it's got his stories. And then there's obviously stuff that happened after the film, like where he fucking broke out and he climbed up to the roof of the prison and shit like that. I was like, you know, I'd like to break down. Like,
people are too formal. I think sometimes interviewers especially, not the psychologist stuff, interviewers are so formal with it. If Bundy was alive today, if we could, obviously he couldn't be in the room, but let's throw it all out the window. If we could have him in the room, have a couple of drinks... I think you're getting shit out. I think laughing and joking, you're getting shit out of them that they ain't willing to say elsewhere, because they start to relax and they start to go, oh, this is funny. And we're making jokes and making each other laugh.
Mm.
And he was a charming cunt. He'd definitely be making us rolling, you know?
I reckon it'd be hilarious.
So I think if you were to do that, and this is not to like say like that their crimes were okay, because they weren't.
They're not.
You know, something like, oh, it's just a weird cunt. Ramirez, weird motherfucker. A really weird motherfucker. Me and you are a couple of weird motherfuckers. So.
But deep into like satanic rituals and shit like that, I'd love to fucking grill his mind on that.
Just dig into it. Because if he thinks you're into it, maybe he would...
Open up.
Open up.
Yeah.
But I'd be willing to talk to any of these motherfuckers that are in prison now for crime. Like, I'd do that. Without fail, I'd do that. Luca would be on the top of the list of the ones that are currently in there because he was such a mad cunt.
Yeah.
That Stephen Port might be okay, but he was a bit of a dumbass.
Not like going up there.
No.
I think everybody else we've done is dead.
Yeah, that's the problem. A lot of them are dead, but living ones for sure.
Vendor like, machine killer.
Yeah, yeah. Come forward.
Welcome to the show.
Get a translator.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, even people like Jake Davidson, like, obviously he's gone, he's dead.
It'd be an interesting conversation.
Especially with the dumb shit he believed, to try and counter that during the conversation. McCroskey, because he's in prison, might be a good, because he won't tell anyone the truth.
Yeah.
Might be a good way. We're similar age. It's not same music, but darker.
It's the dark imagery.
Dark imagery in that. Yeah, like, maybe something like that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots, but any of them. Like, I don't think if an opportunity came to talk to any of these people, I think I'd accept it straight.
Oh, no, we jump straight on that shit.
That's a good question, though. It's good, because it actually makes me think, oh, fuck, what would I ask these motherfuckers? Do you know?
Yeah.
Is that our last question?
That's it.
Okay, well, no, thanks for your questions, Go. We do like these.
These are our favourite sort of episodes because we get to interact with everybody like a bit more. You know, you guys are sending and we're answering your questions, and it's good for us. It's fun for us.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, I wish more of you did. Like, women, you guys, I've said this before. Women make up like 5-6% of our listener base, but you are the most like interactive. Women,
yeah, you guys send in more questions than anything.
Than anyone else. So guys, you're letting the side down. Come on, you've got to.
Think of something clever. Make it funny.
Yeah, Gwen, as always, you are always... Oh, and Kelly this time as well. You guys are great for sending
Sarah,
stuff in.
Sarah, thank you, Claire.
Sarah, thanks. Thank you. You're all great. Thanks for sending stuff in. We'll do this again. We'll definitely do another Q&A. I need to... People just send stuff in, but I should probably start announcing like 3 weeks before we do one. Like, hey, at the end of this month, I'm thinking of doing one, so you can have time to think about it or something.
Problem is, at the minute, because it's just me and Sam, I'm quite a busy chap. I'm now getting, because we're going into the summer, I'm getting more busy. So it's just a case of...
Because we've had to schedule stuff on Fridays, Sundays, recently.
Yeah, just to fit around the shit I'm doing. And it's going to be like that until probably start of July. So apologies if it's like, this is like the last, whenever this one comes out, this is like the last one you hear for maybe a couple of weeks, simply because... It's my fault, not Sam's, because I'm just too busy at the minute. Because I'm working weekends at the minute, and I've also now getting ready for a festival and planning a tour, and I am now getting ready for a stage show as well. So
yeah, Scott's a busy guy. I don't know how you do it all, to be honest.
Yeah, no, neither do I. I've got to try and find time for gaming as well.
I've been pretty busy, but that's because I'm writing a book, so it's sort of like one of those things of like, I need to, like, every day I've been writing, and 2 days ago I wrote a whole chapter.
Nice.
And then I went, I hate it.
Oh, she scrapped it.
So I rewrote. Like,
you rewrote it?
Yesterday, I rewrote the whole fucking thing. It came out way better. Yeah, way better. Good. I was feeling a bit emotional yesterday, and I fucking smashed it.
Yeah, good.
The scene needed what to you be, need, the eh? Scene needed to be a feeling of loss and fucking issue, and I smashed it. I was so much more happier with what I'd originally written. So
that's good.
So look out for that at some point, because that will be coming out. Whether or not I publish it myself or not is to be seen. I'm hoping to get it published. I think the reservations I've had from publishers about the content, the issues they have are actually addressed in the book later on. So it's not like it stays a certain way.
It's like
characters change their tune and they move into a different...
Sometimes they need to see the whole thing to get the idea.
But we'll see what happens. But there's a good chance it will be self-published. If I can at least sell like 100 copies, I'll be happy.
I think you will, easy.
I think so, yeah.
Even people just listening to this, they'll buy it.
I think so, yeah. So if I can at least sell 100, which isn't a big financial gain, it's enough to get me trending on Amazon, which will be enough to get other people
listening, buying.
So
it's a foothold.
Yeah, and then if you own your own ISBN, I don't want to bore people with this, but if you own your own ISBN when you publish a book, that ISBN is available. So if you said you sold 10,000 copies of a book in a space of 6 months that you wrote yourself, published yourself, a publisher would say, we'll take the ISBN and publish it fully. So you would be able to then get it out in shops and all sorts of stuff.
That's cool.
And then that's really happened cool. to people. Like, I've got a few writer friends that I've kind of spoke to a little bit, and they're like, oh, I'll put in a word for you. I've got someone pretty famous who might write the foreword for the book. So
that's cool.
That's cool if I can get that.
A little bit of backing?
Yeah. Because, like, I've asked them, they're interested, but they want to see the finished book before they fucking put their name to it.
Understandable.
Which makes sense.
Understandable.
You know? So, yeah, so look out for that. Look out for Scott's new album.
Some point this year. We decided the other day we had a meal at a local place called Otto's,
and it's good food there.
Great food, and we kind of laid out the plan of the next couple of months to get some traction going and lead up. So we're going to do 3 more singles, and then the album's going to drop.
So if you don't know, the band is called Watercolor Matchbox. So
got 4 singles out so far on Spotify plus 2 other albums.
Yeah, it's plenty there.
And 2 covers, one being Toss a Coin to Your Witcher from the Witcher TV series, and our version of Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush, which came out when the last season of Stranger Things came out.
Yeah, it's a nice cover as well. So
yeah,
I like it. And we the feedback we've got from listeners here that have listened to your music like it, like Tim likes it. He often posts his story and he's listening to one of your songs and that. Sick. So I see that come up quite a lot.
Amazing.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, I'll have to keep a look at that. Yeah, cheers, Tim. Thank you very much.
Stories, so, yeah, it's a Tim sound. But no, thanks for listening to this. And cheers, take care until we see you.
Bye-bye.